This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Electric vehicles aren't the rage in all corners of the globe. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, though, Germany could be facing recession. Italy's prime minister wants a, quote, extraordinary plan to spur growth, and nearly every European economy is hit by global trade worries. So the European Central Bank is expected to cut rates further into negative territory today. Some analysts say it could also restart the financial crisis-era bond buying program. Ema Daly, though, a strategist at Macquarie, isn't in that camp.
The issue with the bond purchases is that a number of the ECB members have come out against it. They're saying, you know, growth is very low now, but it's not awful. And also, we could have a significant shock from, example, Brexit, or if there is a massive escalation in US-China trade wars. The issue is the ECB never really got policy off that emergency setting that happened in 2011 when we had the Eurozone debt crisis. So those policymakers are saying, let's hold something back. Let's put something in reserve so that, you know, if the downside does materialize, we've got something, you know, to help fend off a recession.
If the ECB lowers rates today, banks will have to pay to park their excess reserves at the central bank. Is there a concern that that could take money that could be made into loans for consumers out of the economy?
That is absolutely true. So at the moment, European banks are paying $7.6 billion in terms of interest payments to the ECB because of these negative rates. So if they do cut deposit rates today, we think they'll introduce what's called a tiered system. So basically, they'll exempt, you know, commercial banks from having to pay these negative rates.
Ema Daly there. Let's do the numbers. China's currency strengthened and global stocks are higher after President Trump delayed increasing tariffs on some Chinese imports. Reports also indicate China may allow companies to start buying U.S. agricultural products again. Meanwhile, shares of British American Tobacco are up more than 2% after the company announced plans to cut 2,300 jobs. As the business shifts from traditional cigarettes, the company said it wants to become more efficient and focused with fewer layers of management. The World Health Organization and the European Commission president are hosting what they call the first World Vaccination Summit in Brussels today. It comes as several EU and neighboring countries face outbreaks of vaccine-preventable diseases. Dr. Kate O'Brien is at that conference. She's the World Health Organization's Director of Immunization, Vaccines, and Biologicals.
We're at a tipping point with vaccines. We've made incredible progress over decades, but we're starting to slide back in many places. Now's the time to act with greater investment and greater commitment.
You talk about more investment. What more is needed?
Whenever someone falls ill with a vaccine-preventable disease, it's not just the cost of their particular care or the lost work associated with caring for that person. We see that there is somewhere around a $16 to $21 return on investment for every dollar spent to vaccinate a child. When you consider the social benefits that accrue over the lifetime of somebody who has had avoided having vaccine-preventable diseases, that can go up to $54. So the economic benefits are enormous.
Are there certain barriers that maybe aren't equal between, say, developed and developing countries when it comes to access to vaccines?
Vaccine programs are complex programs in some ways and rather simple programs in other ways to establish and to sustain. It means, however, that the services really have to be accessible. And we need to have vaccines that are of assured supply so that each time a parent comes, they actually have the service there to receive. So those are big challenges, especially for countries that are still developing their health system. And it really is the primary health care system that is the foundation for strong immunization programs. So those are areas that need added investment and political commitment in each of the countries around the world.
Dr. Kate O'Brien there. While car makers at the Frankfurt Motor Show this week are showing off their new electric vehicles, not everyone is convinced that's the car technology of the future. In Brazil, nearly 90% of all new cars are flex fuel, meaning they run on either petrol or sugarcane-based ethanol, as the BBC's Daniel Gallis reports.
Brazil is a sugarcane powerhouse. It produces almost half of the world's sugar. But much of the harvest here isn't even turned into food. It's made into biofuel. Brazil has the world's largest fleet of flex-fuel cars, meaning they can run on both petrol and ethanol. For years, the industry here thought biofuels were the best way to reduce greenhouse gases. But now the world seems to be going electric, leaving Brazil at a crossroads.
Biofuel producers and car makers have enjoyed huge benefits in the past to make ethanol the preferred choice. Also, with the help of subsidies, over 90% of the fleet here is flex fuel. If consumers were to suddenly change all of that in favor of electric cars, then this entire industry would be at risk.
Toyota has just launched what it says is the world's cleanest hybrid car. It can run on electricity, ethanol, and gasoline. The vice president of Toyota Brazil, Miguel Fonseca, says biofuels are still part of the future of transport.
Brazil has a very developed ethanol production base, which is self-sustainable and renewable. So we can use a non-fossil fuel, electrify its usage to improve the performance and the efficiency of the system.
The biofuel industry is keen to avoid being sidelined in the rush to electric vehicles. Evandro Gussi from Brazil's sugarcane association, Unica, says electric cars are not necessarily the future of transport.
When I see an electrical vehicle with battery, I have to ask from where comes the electricity. If the electricity comes from coke, for example, it's very common, you have a worse problem than vehicles with fossil fuels.
Drivers want their cars to be environmentally friendly, but here in Brazil there is still plenty of debate about the best road to take. In São Paulo, I'm the BBC's Daniel Gallas for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.